gorilla position from Talk Sport with WWE 2K17. Welcome to Suplex City. The brilliant new game is out now. This is Gorilla Position with James D'Lo.
Hello, you. Welcome to Gorilla Position. Hello, everyone. Thank you for downloading or listening, whatever way you are listening to Gorilla Position, whether it's on TalkSport, on DAB Radio, or on the TalkSport app, or on your podcast weapon of choice. This is your pro wrestling slash sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. I'm not James D'Lo, as you may have already realised. He's still on a family holiday, so hope you're doing well, James, enjoying the sun in Italy. My name's Ash Rose, and we're back in the UK after a whirlwind tour of Brooklyn and SummerSlam 2017. Wow, what a weekend that was. We took in all the sights and sounds of the Big Apple and NXT TakeOver on Saturday night, the big one, SummerSlam 2017, as well as all the media stuff that we've done over the past few days. If you've listened back to our SummerSlam reaction show, me and Skillet sort of chewing the fat over everything, go back in the archive, as they say these days, and listen to that. We had such a great time. It really was. Great spending time with Skills and Simon, and lots of great stuff for the show that will be coming on the YouTube channel and as well as across the podcast, the radio show, all coming very, very soon to your ears. So keep an eye out for that, including today, actually. Yes, we thought we'd kick off our SummerSlam, sort of the bulk of what we've got. We'll stay in the SummerSlam bubble with some snippets from the red carpet event that we were doing on the Friday night. We were doing the Friday night stuff there. So we still got some snippets we're going to play in today from Raw GM Kurt Angle. Some nice memories from SummerSlam from him, as well as Samoa Joe, who looks back and forward at the time it was to his big four-way and his position in WWE at the top of the card now. So I'll be playing them, a little tease for you. I'll give you a bigger intro during the part three of the show when we do the interview. I just want to say thank you as well to everybody who come and say hello to us while we were in Brooklyn. There was a lot of fans that came up to us, said they enjoyed the show, walking around the stadium, just inside and outside of Brooklyn, actually. It was such a WWE bubble to be in for those few days. It was really enjoyable, including a couple of people outside the hotel as well. You may have mentioned on Monday's show, there were a lot of fans outside the hotel most of the time, actually, come rain or shine, looking for the WWE superstars because they were staying in the same hotel as us. But one of the days we walked out and we heard some Gorilla Position, which was really nice. So yeah, we got some, I think at the last day, Simon gave them some t-shirts as well, which was really nice. They were really pleased with that. I think they were extra large, so they may have to sleep in them because they were kids, they were younger people. So hopefully they enjoyed that and they got the t-shirt. So yeah, brilliant SummerSlam stuff. As I said, keep an eye on the YouTube channel. There's some great videos on there at the moment. We've got some stuff with Dean Ambrose, some stuff from Jinder Mahal, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Finn Balor, The New Day. I apologise for my rap on The New Day. I don't think they appreciated it as much as... They were very polite in their laughing, but I'm no Vanilla Ice or no Eminem, so check out my rapping to The New Day on YouTube right now. But before we get into looking back at what was the post-Raw and SmackDown show, again from the Barclays Centre, as we always do on Gorilla Position, first of all, it's time to go behind the curtain. So here we are then, going behind the curtain of all the news, and we couldn't do this without our news hound. That's a word I thought I wouldn't use today, so it's all come to me. He's a man who usually spends his time talking on footy, lads. It's not the same when I do it, I suppose, is it?
I thought you were going to come up with some massive, like, you know how James was doing those football references. I thought you were going to come up with some brilliant sort of...
I should do. I could probably just come up with the top of my head, really, yeah. Shouldn't I? Yeah. Well, I'll do the one that I referenced on the show, on the tweet along we were doing SummerSlam. So, Tarebo West, hair, green, braids, Nigeria, Derby County. Oh, I shouldn't mention that to you, really, no. Should I? But he's the voice of TalkSport and Chelsea TV, and he's a WWE lifer. And we missed him very much while we were in Brooklyn. I wish you were here with us on the weekend, Matt. You would have enjoyed it immensely, I'm sure. How you doing, Mr. Matt Davis?
All right, I'm just about over my envy of you two, to be honest. It spiked a little bit again when you came into the office, but yeah.
I want to say I'm sorry, but I'm not. It was an absolutely immense weekend. And I should have said this in the intro, really. It was a really daunting experience stepping into the shoes of James D'Lo. So I hope I did it justice. Everybody on social has been very kind in the comments, the coverage you put out there. So, yeah, it was daunting to step in the shoes of James. But I hope I did the man justice. I hope he's pleased with everything. And I hope you guys are too. But let's start with some news, some WWE news. Mm. And as we always do, there's some injuries going on.
Yeah, a couple of fairly serious injuries, actually, following SummerSlam weekend. Starting off with Cass, who's is the most severe. I'm sure you saw his knee appear to give way on Raw on Monday.
Pretty, this was legitimate.
Yeah, yeah, pretty clear something was up. The match had to be stopped. Obviously, that's quite rare in WWE. The ringside physician, Dr. Chris Robinson, has given an update to WWE.com. He says it looks like Cass has an ACL tear, possibly a medial meniscus tear, but we're going to wait for the radiologist to evaluate the MRI and give us their full report. Basically, the key headline is that he'll be out for up to 9 months. That's the typical recovery time from an injury like that. So you could see how annoyed he was at the time when he did it and the way he walked off. He knew something was wrong. Obviously, we know a little bit about knee injuries from watching lots of footy.
How many football references can we get on today's show without
James?
I was
thinking we could just do a pure football
show. We could play football bingo.
There'll be nothing he could do about it. But yeah, you know, it's a serious injury in any sport. But yeah, 9 months out, what an awful piece of timing for him, just at the time when they're trying to heat him up and get him away from Enzo. Difficult.
Do you think a timeout might, one of those great, you know, absent makes the heart grow fonder? Because I don't know if Cass is quite, he got some good heat, didn't he, last week on Raw? So
yeah, that's the positive way of looking at it. The other way is, you know, absence makes the heart forgetful.
And also it's a stacked roster, isn't it, on Raw? So you do wonder when he comes back. It's horrible for Big Cass. He's not the only one, though, on the shelf.
No, Asuka suffered a broken collarbone in her NXT Women's title defence, which you watched live against Ember Moon. I don't know if you noticed, actually, live at the end, the ref was trying to get her to lift the belt up, and she was kind of indicating, I can't do it, my collarbone is broken. Apparently, the recovery time from this one's 6 to 8 weeks. So there's not another takeover event till November. Mm. So one would assume it's pretty unlikely that WWE are going to do what they did to Naomi and strip her of the title, because she can't defend it, given that they've made such a fuss of building up this 500-day reign. It would be a very anticlimactic way to end it.
Well, it depends if they decide to bring that 30-day rule in. It depends who the talent is at the time, doesn't it?
Really? Yeah, I think it's slightly different with NXT as well, isn't it? Because of there's fewer events and stuff. I think they can logically, in storyline sense, get away with having her not defend it until she's fit again.
Well, from that sad and unfortunate news for Big Cass and to a certain extent Asuka, to even sadder news, Dana Brooke had some awful news last night.
Yeah, condolences to her after the tragic death of her boyfriend earlier this week. Dallas McCarver, his name was, is a bodybuilder. He died on Monday evening, reportedly shortly after they'd spoken on the phone, after choking on food. He was only 26 years old. So she's already been tweeting about it and spoken to TMZ, telling his fans to stay strong, etc. But yeah, horrible news for her. So all our sympathies to her.
But slightly better news on the Ric Flair front.
Yeah, we're hoping so. Yeah, it seems there's been some positive progress for Flair following his hospitalisation, which we reported on last week. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about him in the present tense now a week later is good, because that was clearly the critical period the first few days. Charlotte gave an update via Instagram over the weekend saying, after an incredibly hard week, my dad is getting better. Still a long road to go and he's not out of the woods yet, but I want to thank everybody for their support. There are several conflicting reports as to the full extent of his problems. Obviously, we'll find out in the fullness of time, but it would appear that he had part of his bowel removed whilst also needing kidney dialysis. It's also been reported that he's had an external pacemaker fitted, and the problem with the blockage in his bowel, which he had to have removed, has caused multiple organ problems elsewhere in his body. That seems to be the reason why it's got progressively worse. So it's still a very serious situation, but not quite as grave as it was a week ago.
Well, that's better news for us. There was a lot of, as you can imagine, wooing over the weekend. When you spend time with Skillet as well, that tends to happen. But just in general, there were people dressed as Ric Flair. I think people were especially, you know, because I think somebody was actually prepared for more worse news over the weekend. I think maybe even WWE could have been prepared for that SummerSlam weekend, but thankfully he seems to be on the mend. From one generation to the next, I guess, there's a new signing in WWE.
Yeah, if you're a big indie, Mark, you'll probably have heard of this guy. You and I haven't, Ash, but I'm thinking Skills probably have. He's called Leo Rush. He's only 22 years old, but he's signed a deal with WWE, which the company announced on Monday. They said in a statement, internationally recognised as one of the ring's top high flyers, Rush officially joined the WWE WWE Performance Center on Monday. He began training in 2014 and in less than 3 years has competed in 43 states, Canada, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Germany and Ireland. In 2016, he won Ring of Honor's Top Prospect Tournament and he held the Combat Zone Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. He was also the former tag team partner of current NXT superstar The Velveteen Dream. The pair held the Maryland Wrestling Tag Team title together back in 2015. So yeah, hopefully, or presumably, we'll be seeing him in NXT before too long.
Another Ring of Honor talent then.
Yeah.
I think I've seen three make their, well, yeah, their amazing debut at the Barclays Centre.
Triple H likes him, doesn't he?
He does. It's like a feeding centre at the moment. And props to the guys at ROH because they do produce some amazing talent, as we'll see from Adam Cole and the boys. Skillet was very, very happy when that happened. I've never seen him scream so much in my life. Finally, then, I really wanted to have this moment. I get to host Gorilla Position and I can't say the Eva Marie blurb. Gutted. Well, absolutely gutted.
You don't know how gutted you are because there's an amazing wedding anniversary Instagram post from Eva this week, but I'm not going to read it out because the people spoke.
The people spoke. It was worse than Brexit.
Yeah.
So instead, we haven't got a jingle for this yet, I don't think. No. So we'll just have to say, what is the WWE tweet of the week?
Okay, it comes from Brian G. James at WWE Road Dog. I think he's got some kind of tie-in with this healthy eating company at Sensible Meals because they've tweeted a picture of lunch. It's like a little salad bowl. And I just thought that this was quite a nice tweet, if I don't put any more context on it than this, from Brian James. He quote tweeted this picture: great idea to add the guacamole in there, ! #OUDK.
Oh.
If anyone can explain a bit more about that, please do.
He's clearly a man who likes guacamole.
Clearly, yeah.
Okay, stick around because we're chewing the fat over Raw and SmackDown, the post-SummerSlam events. We'll also get Matt's thoughts on SummerSlam from watching from a viewer point of view from the network. You got our views, me and Skillet from Alive Points. We'll get that from Matt as well. That's coming soon after the break.
Hello, you. Hello, Fresh. Could there be a better partnership than this? I'm delighted to welcome HelloFresh into the GP family. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I only work with brands on this show that I think you, the lovely listeners, will care about. And if you love your food, like I do, and are tired of cooking the same old things, HelloFresh could change your life. Now, me and my family are genuine, hand on my heart, this is honestly 100% legit. We are genuine HelloFresh customers. And honestly, it's made such a huge impact on my life because life's busy with commitments and with kids. And me and my wife just don't get much time in the week to actually plan nice meals and eat in a healthy way. And now, thanks to HelloFresh, we do, and you could too. Now, I was told this and I didn't believe it, but I think it's true. The average Brit cooks only 12 recipes a year. And HelloFresh gives you the opportunity to stir some life into dinner times and helps you break that routine. Pasta and a jar of sauce was our routine. Genuinely, no word of a lie, HelloFresh has made such an incredible difference in the D'Lo household. We get to cook different meals with a huge variety of fresh ingredients every day. And I love it because not only has it woken up my taste buds, but crucially, it's taken all the stress out of meal planning, all for a similar cost to our weekly shop. So what HelloFresh do is they send you new recipes every week with perfectly portioned fresh ingredients right to your door. You can choose classic, veggie, or family boxes. They're available for between 2 and 4 people with 3 to 5 meals per week, whatever you decide. You can check out all the details on their website, hellofresh.co.uk. Everything you need to know is on there. Plus, if you make an order, being a loyal Gorilla Position listener will help you out to no end. You can get 50% off your first 2 boxes with the promo code GP50. And if you like how it's going, and I'm positive you will, you can swap meals, you can skip weeks, or even pause your subscription at the touch of a button. I love my food. Nay, I adore my food. I'm obsessed with food. So I'm very passionate about this brand. It's been such an amazing thing for us. And so if you want to cook Instagram-worthy, picture-perfect meals, if you want to avoid supermarket queues, if you want no kitchen disasters and grumpy, boring dinners going forward, HelloFresh is the answer to your mealtime prayers. Head to hellofresh.co.uk, use the promo code GP50 and get 50% off your first 2 boxes. Say hello you to HelloFresh, and I'm extremely confident you will not regret it. Use the promo code GP50 to get 50% off your first 2 boxes now.
You can can hear the Monday Night Raw theme tune in the background. That must mean we're talking Raw time, baby. And I'm still here with Matt Davis.
Hello.
And somebody who I spent a lot of time with over the last week, and a pleasure it's been as well. My brother, the rapper, the podcaster, New Day's newest friend, Skillet.
Hey, I feel like we're married now.
I've seen more of you.
So much time together
than my wife over the last few days. Obviously, being in Brooklyn, and Simon as well, producer
you
Simon. Thank you
wife.
Very much. How you doing? How's the jet lag?
Better. I think I slept most of yesterday. So
you flew in and went straight to BBC Radio, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I had to. I had to give them coverage early in the morning, and then had to wait for my interview to happen. So I was lagging it.
But yeah, my heart is bleeding over here.
What a pro! I was going to ask you, Matt. Actually, what were your thoughts quickly on SummerSlam as a? Because I think when we were going through the tweets, we were doing the reaction show. A lot of people found it. Different experience watching it on the network or however they watch it live, more harsher, I think, more disappointments. What were your views on SummerSlam?
It's kind of difficult for me to say with any clarity, and here's why. I had like a minor operation on Monday morning, so I watched it. I thought I'll come back from hospital and watch it, but I'd been quite heavily sedated. It took me for the rest of the day to get out of it, so I kind of watched the whole 4 hours and then thought, I can't remember what happened in any of that. But my thoughts were, it was... And Skillet, you said don't compare the two, but it was just I watched TakeOver on Saturday night and was just blown away. I thought it was one of the best wrestling shows I've seen in years. And SummerSlam, you can't help but compare it in a way. It was much more difficult, but I thought Meat Feast saved it. It wouldn't have been great without it, but that was so good that you know. And often when we were doing comment below the other week talking about our favourite shows of all time, a lot of them were or the counterpoint was but only had that one match. That can make a bad show average, or an average show good, or a good show great, can't it? So yeah, it was all right. It was a solid 3 out of 5, but no more than that.
Exactly what we gave it as well, wasn't it? Well, let's see what we give Monday Night Raw. Again, from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, which I'm assuming they got in on their seats a bit quicker than they did at SummerSlam or Miz. And I think they rewarded Miz on this show, which we'll talk about in a sec. But let's talk about the opening, first of all. It's the only way to open, wasn't it, but really? Still Universal Champion, Paul Heyman, waxing lyrical. He had some great lines in this. When there's beating to be done... Brock Lesnar does the
beating. There's victimization to be perpetrated.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that one. I was leaving that one to you. But yeah, I mean, a typical Paul Heyman promo, waxing lyrical over Brock Lesnar, building up the fact that what happened to him with Braun Strowman, and he came back into the match and still pinned Roman Reigns as well, of course. And then Braun Strowman.
Yeah, man.
Continued his tirade. I mean, this match has now been announced for No Mercy.
No Mercy.
But what did you think of the opening promo, Skills?
I love the Paul Heyman promo. Celebrating Brock Lesnar's victory, fantastic! Can't get any better than that. And the right man to step to Lesnar is Braun Strowman. He stole SummerSlam for me, and he deserves to be the number one contender. Mm-hmm.
We're surprised that it's now.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, we were saying on Monday that we said WrestleMania.
Yeah,
first,
we said
didn't
Mania.
We?
Yeah, I said save it for Mania, but is Lesnar going to be at Mania? Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, who knows what his schedule is like? Well, I thought maybe Survivor Series. I thought that's what we maybe get it.
And, a big four.
Yeah, and build it a little bit. But no, they're going to hotshot it and do it at No Mercy. I mean, the crowd reactions in the Brooklyn Center Sunday night were mega for these two. And I mean, are you into it, Matt? Are you, when you see these two behemoths, are you there?
Yeah, definitely. And Sunday only helped that with the three table spot was just amazing, wasn't it? And Brock doing his Terry Funk impression coming back afterwards. I love that. Yeah, these two, it is the main event, isn't it? And I just wonder slightly if it's like, well, it's at No Mercy, which is... you would call a B-level pay-per-view, but is there such a thing these days? I mean, they're all on the network. It's not the same model, is it?
I think that was my only disappointment with SummerSlam. It wasn't treated in terms of production. And like I said on the sets, there was no pyros as well. It wasn't treated like arguably the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, the biggest party of the summer, they call it. So yeah, I think I agree with you. I don't think it matters so much these days with the network. I think Mania still stands alone. You have those Mania moments. But yeah, I think SummerSlam, sadly for us and you guys, especially Skills, who was watching the 92 as well. I was listening to your 92 watch-along on the way here, finishing off that listen, which was great, by the way, guys. Yeah, I don't think it has the same appeal as those big events. So that's going to be the main event for No Mercy. And do we think that's the end of Brock's title reign then? Or do we think they're saving that for a big one?
I'm assuming so. I think so. I think Strowman's going to main event WrestleMania.
There's a report today. John Jones is the guy that he was lining up a UFC fight with, right, Brock?
Yeah.
And but apparently John Jones has failed a drugs test.
Exactly.
So does that throw that into some doubt and maybe mean that Brock holds on to the belt now?
I guess so, but I don't think... I honestly believe it's Strowman's time now. And I think you need to strike when the iron is hot. And I think... If you make Strowman lose too many matches, he won't be convincing as a monster. He's a monster, as they book him great and everything, but he needs to start winning. He needs to win the big one.
He
needs.
He does. He's such an interesting face, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, is he a face? I guess he is now.
I think so, yeah. Well, I think the key thing as well is that Lesnar is clearly keen to sell, willing to sell heavily for him.
Yeah. Oh, Lesnar knows there's money in Strowman. Yeah. He knows.
The other major talking point from Raw, of course, John Cena turned up on Raw, which we had rumours about. I thought it was even announced, but clearly it wasn't.
It was announced.
It was announced.
Which made Kurt Angle's announcement even just ridiculous.
Because I was in the airport and I was watching a video pre-Raw of him saying, oh, there's a celebrated superstar in tonight's Raw. Can you give us any clues? And I thought, it's John Cena.
Yeah, don't need any clues.
We know who he is. So he comes out, pretty much inadvertently calls out Roman Reigns. These two stand in the ring. You both suck, was the chant from the Barclays Centre. But seeing these two together, got me a little bit excited.
Well, I was excited about this before this segment on Raw. So I was excited to see Reigns and Cena. And then I saw Reigns and Cena on Raw and I heard the crowd reaction. And I think, I don't know, because if they have a match at Mania, I believe the crowd might sabotage it like they did with Lesnar Goldberg, WrestleMania 20. Mm. It might be like that.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
My big problem here with Cena was absolutely terrible. It was everything I hate about John Cena.
Very smirky in this whole
nothing segment. You've come back to Raw for the first time in what, how long? You're talking about fighting the guy who's supposed to be the guy and all he did was smirk and laugh his way through it. My note here is what a turd in the punch bowl he is.
He really...
Miz was working so hard in the rest of that segment. He was being so serious and so brilliant. And Cena's just there smirking away at him.
Yeah. He ticked off Miz, didn't he?
Well, Miz comes down to interrupt these guys. Makes the comment about it's nice to be here in front of a full Barclays Centre. But Miz says the word Barclays. I think it was Barclays or something he called it. I can't remember. Which... You know, he was just going to carry on and do the promo, blah, blah, blah. But then John Cena had to pick him up on it. I don't know. Was that a little bit nitpicking it?
It was Cena not taking it seriously. But I like Miz saying to him immediately, you've always got to make a joke of everything, haven't you? So he sort of re-owned it, if you like.
Mm. But there's been a lot of buzz on social about this this promo from the Miz. Another kind of Miz bomb, similar to what he did on Talking Smack. You know, he questioned what these two guys in the ring are getting. Do they deserve it? You know, he mocked the t-shirt of John Cena saying it's 12 years, however long, you know.
I've been busting my ass for 12 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, you know, you deserve it. Never give in. And I've been doing this. I haven't got what I deserve. The Miz just, he's a star.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, you got to be, I mean, especially in front of this post SummerSlam crowd, got to be careful that he's a heel and everything that he was saying was completely right. But it was related.
And it was completely reversed, wasn't it, in the Barclays Centre. So, I mean, I don't know what they do here because The Miz is so good. They need to be pushed up the card, doesn't it?
That's my whole point. It's like, why do this if you're not going to actually use him to, you know, where he needs to be? Yeah. I mean, the reason why Punk did a pipe bomb was to make change. The reason why Austin made that promo at King of the Ring was for change.
Yeah.
And it changed. Like, are you going to just have Miz talk his way like this and then keep him a company man that loses to Cena and Reigns? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that Miz got pinned
saying, why do you get all the moments?
Exactly.
I want my moments. So then John Cena, who clearly has the ability to make matches on Raw and SmackDown, and there was no, you know, okay from Kurt Angle. I said it on commentary, I might have missed that, but you know, John Cena always seems to make his own matches. So he teams up with Samoa Joe, it's with Roman Reigns against The Miz and Samoa Joe. Joe came out in that promo as well, brilliantly just stepped it to Cena, and I loved seeing these two kind of face to face because that's something we haven't seen before, and without question just hit him, got something to say to you, boom. So that set up the main event. Miz and and Samoa Joe. That was an interesting combo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite funny with the backstage bit where Miz called him my intimidating Samoan friend.
But like you said, Skill, so they, the faces, so-called faces in inverted commas, picked up the win with the Miz being pinned, and you have that shot at the end with Cena and Reigns. This is the match they build it to at WrestleMania, isn't it?
Of course it is. That's the money match, you know? I get the feeling like Cena after Mania might be gone for a long time. It's like he's going through opponents that he wants to face before Mania, like Nakamura on SmackDown. He's going to probably face Joe at No Mercy, maybe another bucket list of opponent before Reigns at Mania, and then you'll probably lose to Reigns and,
fingers crossed,
fly off.
Is it not quite early to be building up to a WrestleMania match yet?
Well, they've done that before, Rock and Cena a whole year in advance.
Yeah, so. I just wonder if Reigns seen as more of a Survivor Series.
Maybe. I think they have to try, if they're going to do it for WrestleMania, they have to try and sort of sow the seeds, but not have them. We don't know how often we'll see John Cena on Raw and on SmackDown as well, because he's this free agent role. So if they're going to do it that way and do the long build, then they need to just sow seeds every now and then slowly get there come January, come the Rumble. Okay, so what else happened on Monday Night Raw from the Barclays Center? Oh, let's start with Matt, you alluded to this in the news, Enzo Amore versus Big Cass, Brooklyn street fight. Well, ended in a street injury, you could kind of call it, didn't you? So this match never really got going because, as we've mentioned in the news, and I didn't realise it was going to be that serious. I wasn't even sure coming in today if it was, I hadn't seen across the social network and stuff. But Skills, as we've heard, 9 months it could be out for Big Cass.
I mean, honestly, I had no idea that was a real injury. I watched that and I was thinking, oh, that's how they ended it. Okay, Cass will probably be back in 2 weeks' time. And I didn't even know. It wasn't even like, for me, it didn't even look like it was convincing that that was, I thought it was all acting. So I was like, oh, okay. So, Matt, you brought the news to me that was actually a legitimate injury. I'm actually shocked.
Yeah, I think you can sometimes tell by the reactions of wrestlers, can't you? Because after he did it, he tried to do his big boot and he knew that he was injured, but he thought we should go straight to the finish and he couldn't even do that and he just collapsed. So it was clear something was wrong. And it also reminded me a bit of, remember when Wade Barrett, it must have been a shoulder injury or something, he got pushed to the outside and banged his arm into the announce desk and he was just swearing like a trooper at ringside because he knew that it was a serious injury, it was going to keep him out for a while. And it was a bit similar with Cass here, he was really, really pissed off.
It's such unfortunate timing. It's a little bit like we've seen with the Revival where they've come up and they, you know, were that pop they got when they first got to Raw and they've had two injuries now and that's really curtailed their momentum. Now Big Cass, I mean, we didn't particularly enjoy the match on Sunday. I don't know what you thought.
Oh, it was a stinker.
But he was the only one there that had kind of some sort of, he was reaction to the crowd, where he had some heat, didn't he? Big Cass in the Barclays Center. So they had plans for him. So it's real big, bad news.
It's a serious injury as well. Not just in terms of it'll take him a long time to recover from, but given that we're told is 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on his knee joints anyway. That's going to be something that he might carry with him for the rest of his life. You know, it's obviously medical science a lot more evolved than it was back in the day. But again, footy reference, that injury that he's got, ACL, MCL, 10 years ago, that finishes your career.
Oh, easy.
It?
Yeah.
So, you know, whether he can come back to the level that he was before, we shall see.
Big shame. And that's for Enzo Amore. He's now on 205 Live.
Yeah, which I think, I mean, the fact that they alluded to it on Bring It to the Table the other week on the network made me think that's going to happen, and we've all predicted it anyway, but is it more of a demotion for Enzo or 205 Live?
Well, I was going to say, is it detriment to him? Does it help 205 Live having Enzo Amore? Will people tune in to 205 Live to see Enzo Amore?
I'm not sure.
Maybe people will, you know, when we went to SmackDown in London, there were loads of Enzo wigs, weren't there, kids? So maybe, I know this doesn't count for much, but maybe it'll keep people in the building to watch 205 Live at the least.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's something that we've all called. I didn't actually think they'd do it, but they have now. So maybe a bit of colour to 205 Live, I suppose it adds in terms of, there's not so many promos character-wise. Maybe it'll add a bit of that. It'd be very interesting to see him and Neville, because that's very different.
And again, promo-wise, that's going to be quite a challenge, isn't it? Because Neville's ultra-serious and Enzo's not.
I think we mentioned this on the Monday show. I love that shot of Neville at NXT TakeOver because there was a lot of stars around the ring and he just stared down the camera, did not break a smile. I don't think he flinched. I love how dedicated Neville is.
Insistent on doing his top button up on his shirt at all times isn't he? Apparently some of the wrestlers have said to him that doesn't look good.
I think that's quite an English thing. We went through that stage, didn't we? If anyone, not that I've been clubbing any time in the last 10 years, but that, you know, used to see that down the pubs and stuff. After that, we had a backstage skit with Emma and Nia Jax, which led to Dana Brooke was here at this point.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I think reports are that they finished the show, she rang a boyfriend, sort of, wow, how's your day been kind of thing, and then, yeah, a couple of hours later he died.
Man, that's sad. Very sad.
So Emma took the loss to Nia Jax. I mean, is this something we're going to keep seeing? Emma just popping up and then losing a match to Nia Jax? I don't really know where these things are going for these two.
I mean, Nia Jax needs to start maybe trying to go back to the title shot, you know, be a number one contender instead of... She's beaten Emma so many times, why would she still waste her time with
Is this a lack of people for them to fight?
Yeah, I sort of wonder as well if Emma's getting a bit of treatment from management for all her social media activity.
Maybe.
And yeah, you say you want a chance, well, we'll put you on TV, but you're losing 5 seconds kind of thing. But yeah, you're right, it's a bit of a dead end otherwise.
Yeah, well, it's part of the 3-hour filler, isn't it? This is these sort of things, I think. If it's going nowhere, you just have to sit through it, unfortunately.
And why does Dana Brooke keep hanging out with Emma?
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you're going to put them together,
even though she keeps putting her down,
if you want them together, we want them together like they were on NXT,
don't
we?
So they were amazing at NXT.
We'll see. Walking with Elias is something I like doing quite a lot. He got a great reaction in the Barclays on Sunday night.
He's actually turning the corner for me.
He is big time.
I mean, I wasn't feeling this at first, especially because I was always comparing it to The Rock's, you know,
singing face
concert.
Hollywood rock.
Hollywood rock, yeah. And there's like this two different, you know, the levels are not there, but at the end of the day, Elias is really finding it, he's finding his lane with this, and he did a great job at SummerSlam, and he did a great job on Raw, I think, as well. So yeah,
big and he was Elias again this week, having been Elias Sampson.
Yeah, now he's just Elias
last week.
Yeah, what was he on, did you watch him on the kickoff show, have you seen that? Or
I don't think he was he on the kickoff all I watched on the kickoff show was matches.
Yeah,
okay.
He was, really was he in the stadium live? I'm assuming he was on.
He was really good in the kickoff.
Yeah, he was really good on kickoff show.
I liked his when he was singing and people were clapping along and he just stopped. This ain't the time to clap along.
In fairness to him, he's got the gimmick and the character down.
What did he say? I was gonna sing a song about Brooklyn tonight.
But you're all ashamed to live here anyway.
That's amazing.
He did some good stuff about
Brooklyn.
He
needs to get away from R-Truth fairly quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing at the moment. I mean, yeah, R-Truth, although he's very good.
Well, he beat R-Truth from Raw, so hopefully that's it.
Yeah. That's it. We don't need to see that. I mean, yeah. R-Truth is just there for what he is, although he's very funny in that KFC commercial that we saw.
That KFC commercial is amazing, outstanding. Heath Slater stole the show, though.
He did. And Shawn Michaels, that's something. We saw Shawn Michaels on
this
night.
Was sacrilege.
Bizarre, because he's in the building and you get him out dressed as Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, all I could think was he must have proposed that, because surely, you know, if somebody had come to that with him, he would have said, excuse me, I'm Shawn Michaels. I'm not doing that.
I mean, I get the whole, it's quite fun to, you know, shock the crowd and also kind of sort of play with them as well, but it's kind of like, I kind of wanted to see Shawn Michaels. Really, very bizarre, man.
I wonder how much he got paid for that. He must have got a lot of money for that.
Depends how much KFC are paying to WWE, I suppose, doesn't it, for their sponsorship. There was a Cruiserweight 6-man tag match. Again, I think it was just a showcase for these Cruiserweight guys. Again, entertainment value was great.
8-man, was it?
Was it 8-man, sorry?
Yeah, it was 8-man. Yeah.
8-man, so got them all involved, didn't they? Because they were all there as well, pretty much, there's a whole roster.
But Grand Metalik looked amazing in this match.
Well, it's good to see more of the guys on Raw. I mean,
good to see Grand Metalik on
Raw.
Yeah,
I didn't realise he was still there.
Yeah.
So that is good. I think because the whole roster was there over the weekend, we saw a lot of them walking around at a hotel and various places in Brooklyn. So they obviously used this opportunity to get all the guys on the show.
No ring entrances again, though.
Any of them. In fairness, to get 8 in long entrances.
Yeah, but, I mean, even come back from break and put Drew Gulak. Grand Metalik, because we haven't seen him. Yeah. You know, at least less. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not like they've got 3 hours to play with, is it? Backstage, Jason Jordan asked his dad, Kurt Angle, for some more competition, because Jason Jordan was pinned on the kickoff show in front of 5 people in the Barclays by The Miz. So he wants more competition and asked for Finn Balor.
Why is my note on this?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to challenge someone, really?
R-Truth.
Yeah, that would be my first port of call.
I think they're going to do a thing where Jason Jordan's going to abuse his father's power to make matches.
But he loses.
But he'll lose, obviously. And
maybe that's the thing that will happen.
That's what's going to happen, and he's going to snap and, you know, have some confrontation with Kurt and probably blame Kurt for his lost record.
So he's going to come out every week, challenge somebody else, saying, I can beat this guy, someone of, you know, credible level like Finn is, and then keep losing until he cracks. That's maybe the way they're going.
I think that's where they're going.
But it's just such a shame that if we all assume he's turning heel, there's going to be no heat to that turn because he's not over as a face.
Yeah, that's my problem at the moment. He's just not over. Mm. I mean, I you couldn't judge on Sunday at SummerSlam because there was nobody in the arena. Yeah. But
it's not working.
It's not working.
So you guys missed that match, didn't you?
Yeah, and we missed that match.
You couldn't, on the network, they did the commentators kept saying people still filing in as they do, but they did quite a good job of not showing that there was hardly anybody there until the end when Miz is celebrating on the outside of the ring holding his belt up and there's literally one bloke in a suit taking a picture of him. It was absolutely hilarious.
I felt so sorry for them because we were walking in at that point and we heard Miz's music, and as Skill said on the reaction show, we were like, that can't be the match, can it? Yeah. And I think we found out the problem was that for some whatever reason the Barclays Center opened the doors at 5,
right,
which was later than I think was originally planned, and then the first match was on at 5:30 but you've got like, what was it, what's the Barclays Center, 20,000 people trying to get in. It's going to take longer than half an hour.
And you guys were saying that they were telling you to hold up your paper tickets with the shots. I don't know if this is the reason, but it looked like it to me. They kept cutting to shots of people outside waiting to get in as a sort of explanation as to why it was empty, and every time they did, everybody held up their ticket, so it looked like people were going, we're really happy waiting to get in. So I think that's why they were doing that.
People weren't.
No,
I can testify to that.
That's interesting.
Something you said on the reaction show, I was listening back to that on the way here today as well, was about Finn Balor, and I'm going to ask Matt about this. Skills were saying, as the Demon, he sees him as a superstar.
Yeah, I thought that was
Finn Balor,
interesting.
Whereas Finn Balor, he sees him as a cool face and, you know,
a very good wrestler.
Like, where do you, because I always have that problem with, I don't quite know why he becomes the Demon. Where do you sit on that?
I don't want to see him as the Demon all the time. Mm. Definitely not. I think he's good enough as Finn Balor on his own, but I just think he could do with maybe a little more seriousness to his character. He's still sometimes a little bit happy to be there. So yeah, I'm not all for him being the Demon permanently by any means, but you're right. It's sort of like the Incredible Hulk thing, isn't it? Mm. But we need to know why he's got this side of his personality, because it's not. It is just like, hey, when I'm a bit angry, I turn into the Demon. Fleshing out a bit more.
I do agree with Matt. If he was the Demon 24/7, it would get old really fast.
Yeah.
So they need to make it a special occasion. Yeah. I think they should probably only do the Demon only in the Big Four.
Maybe not even that.
Maybe not.
I can't wait for a Demon WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, SummerSlam, you think, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think it's only happened to be SummerSlam anyway, because that's the way he's with his injury.
Yeah.
So they did it for his debut match, and then maybe they hadn't planned to do it again at another SummerSlam, but because he was injured for WrestleMania, maybe they didn't, you know, that's why they saved it for the next SummerSlam. I'm sure we'll see it in New Orleans next year and for WrestleMania. One match that was on the SummerSlam card that a lot of people enjoyed as well, and we had the kind of fallout from that as well, was the Raw Tag Team titles. New champions, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, they come out still to separate music. We've not quite heard the Shield music from them at the moment. I still love the Burn It Down, which is one of my favourite things over the weekend, to shout a lot. So they come out, kind of just a celebratory promo, you know, thanking the fans, the fist bump and things like that. I mean, everyone's into them at the moment. Didn't expect this interruption though. The Hardy Boys. What do we think of this one?
I don't really know, to be honest, because it's face v face, isn't it?
But I'm surprised they gave it away straight away.
Yeah, and Seth sort of saying, hey, you know, we idolised you when we were growing up. Does age the Hardy Boys quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Think about it, because they don't look like a couple of fresh-faced 20-year-olds, Ambrose and Rollins, do they? So, but yeah, I don't really know what to make of it. And the fact that the Hardys got beaten, they've got no claim for a rematch, have they? So maybe it was just something to get the Hardys in front of a crowd in the Barclays Center.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that weekend, So, well, I mean, Skills, do we see this as they can be part of the story going forward? I mean, No Mercy, who do you see the new challengers for?
Orphans of Pain.
So you still, because we thought we might see them this week, we haven't yet.
No,
do you think they still come in?
We're not going to see Orphans of Pain for a little while. Maybe a week or two before the pay-per-view, I believe. It might not even be No Mercy, but it will be a case of, I think Dean and Seth will do open challenges to every tag team. They might have a rematch with The Bar. Sheamus Cesaro.
Maybe that'll be the No Mercy match.
That'll probably be the No Mercy match. But I do believe Dean and Steph will be challenging random tag teams from now on until they lose it to Orphans of Pain.
And Dean Ambrose turns heel on Seth Rollins.
I don't know.
That's my prediction.
Dean Ambrose, by the way, you wouldn't have seen this, but they were in the social media lounge on the kickoff show, and Dean Ambrose was very good. Like, I think he's really, really done well the last month or
this
so.
This storyline's given them both such a new lease of life. I mean, the pop both of them got in the Barclays Center on Sunday was pretty huge, but I think Steph even maybe had outdone Dean in terms of that, although I still feel it weird that Dean came out in a hoodie. in 30 degrees. But yeah, I think it's, I think Dean's been, I mean, I've been, you know, what I've said on this show before about Dean, but everyone's interested, everyone's invested. Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to see the full reunion, but for the moment, I'm happy for these guys to have this title. It's good for them. It's a good level for them. I don't know what it says about the tag team division on Raw, because you, again, you're sticking two pretty much big main event guys into a tag team. I know they do it every now and then, but we'll see, I suppose, well, once this feud with The Bar is over with, where they go from there. But Skillet's prediction is Authors of Pain, who of course lost the NXT titles to Sanity on Saturday night. Another new champion, Sasha Banks. She comes out again, another celebratory, you know, I think a lot of that on SummerSlam post show, wasn't it? Just coming out, celebrating the fact that they won these new titles, because it was what, five new champions at SummerSlam, which was quite a lot. She's interrupted by Alexa Bliss. These two are going to go again next week. So, I mean, where do we think this one's going?
I liked Alexa saying every time you defend your title, you lose it.
Yeah. Well, I you know, it's time to give Sasha maybe a substantial title, right? Yeah. Isn't it?
So. And also, like you guys said on Monday, Alex can't have the title forever. So I feel like we just get her beaten and out of the way, and then she can go into a program with somebody else, whoever that might be. And Sasha Nia, I suppose, is logical No Mercy match, isn't it?
Sasha Nia. We've seen a lot of that, haven't we?
We have.
Maybe Sasha Emma, then. Maybe this is what it's building
build
up to
that. It could very much build to that. So
I wouldn't be against that. It'd be a good match.
I wouldn't be against that. Oh, we need to see new faces.
And that if you gave them that and like gave them 15-20 minutes to play with at the pay-per-view, then that could be a massive boost to Emma, couldn't it?
Exactly.
In defeat, she could get over more than she is by chatting with Dana backstage and losing in 5 seconds.
Exactly. Mm.
So, I mean, that was Raw. We talked about the main event earlier on. How do we see, I mean, these post shows, they've become kind of a thing, haven't they? I mean, I think Kurt Angle said in that video I mentioned earlier that, you know, we're going to make SummerSlam the night after SummerSlam, like they make the night after WrestleMania. How do you think it came out, the post-SummerSlam Raw?
It was nice. I mean, I mean, it wasn't, you know, a memorable Raw, but it had some nice moments, and I'm kind of happy they didn't, you know, introduce a new wrestler or anything like that. They just kept it like a normal Raw, but just a bit more exciting than a normal.
It was okay. Yeah, it was a pretty good Raw, actually. Cena left a sour taste in my mouth at the start, but it got better from there. I wonder what your two guys' thoughts were, having seen it live on Beach Ball Gate and all the controversy around that over...
Oh, Cesaro?
Cesaro first, and then Cena making a thing of it, grabbing the beach ball, which to me tells anybody who's planning on going to a live show that if they bring a beach ball, they might get on telly. Doesn't discourage it at all. Mm-hmm. But then apparently at SmackDown last night, people were popping beach balls and getting security guards to come and take them away and like trying to shut that down quite quickly. But was it Yeah, was it really distracting in the tag match?
I think it was, because we were pretty much opposite where they were kind of bouncing it in the air, so it distracted us, and we were kind of saying this is disrespectful.
It really,
you know,
is.
Yeah, especially exactly in a tag team title match with four guys who are some of the best work they're doing at the moment, and especially the storyline going into it as well.
I mean, it shouldn't happen to any talent, but obviously, especially talent like, you know, Cesaro and Ambrose and Seth and Sheamus, you know, who are so over. So it was just a bit weird that they were doing it in that match, and Cesaro, he was livid. And he ran into that arena and he ripped it up, man. It was amazing.
Did they show that on the network?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one thing to bring a beach ball and, you know, do it, as you said, you know, before the show starts, whatever. But I mean, I just don't know why you'd do it anyway. But I don't mind so much people like chanting or doing a Mexican wave or whatever. If a match is really boring and terrible, there's some logic behind that. But as you say, in a tag title match, when people are working their hardest, just...
It seemed very odd because there were...
Go to the beach if you want to play with the beach.
There were
ball.
Worse matches on the card that you were less... Again, I don't think any match should have it, but everyone was invested in that match. You know, Big Cass, Big Show. I mean, that was the match where everyone kind of, you know, died down. It was very ploddy, very slow. A lot of bathroom breaks going on at that point, I think. So, yeah, it was really well. I mean, it was dangerous for me for Cesaro to go in the crowd because you just don't know to do something off the cuff. You just don't know. I mean, a wrestling crowd generally is fine, but... At the same time, I admire him for doing it because of course you'd be annoyed completely. And talking of football references, I tweeted it was the biggest beach ball gate since the Stadium of Light and Darren Bent. Footy, lads. Okay, stick around because we're talking SmackDown Live with the guys here. But before that, my little interviews, little snippets from the red carpet with Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe at the 2K launch party on Friday night. This is Gorilla Position.
This is Gorilla Position with James D'Lo.
Welcome back to Gorilla Position here on TalkSport 2, the award-nominated podcast and the only WWE radio show in the country. And we've got some special interviews for you now, taken from the red carpet at the WWE 2K event we had on Friday night. Now, this event was, I called it at the time, off the hook. It really was. This old battered warehouse in the middle of New York, they decked it out like a WWE nostalgia act. Everything was there you can imagine. There was the Undertaker casket. There was some belts hanging around, including the $1 million belt, which pleased me as somebody who bloody loves the 90s. There was much more. The Stone Cold Zamboni was hanging from the ceiling, which looked unsafe, but I'm sure it was. But it looked pretty cool as well. And there was this huge mural of Seth Rollins as well at the back, because obviously he's the face and the cover star of WWE 2K. And while we were there, we were on the red carpet for 2K18, and we spoke to many of the talents. There was a lot going through. Beforehand, there was this little skit that they put on as well. They had Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose on stage with Cesaro and Sheamus ahead of their meeting on Sunday for the tag titles, which got a little bit crazy. It was a bit more like a press conference. It kind of reminded me of the, you know, what they've been doing with the Mayweather and McGregor stuff going around in the last couple of weeks. So they had a friend of the show, Pete Rosenberg, in the middle hosting it, and the, you know, tempers got a little bit flared. Some comments were dropped, a little bit near to the mark as well, which made me laugh. And it ended in this big scuffle on stage, which was quite nice for the event. I think a lot of people took it for social media. I think you'll find it on WWE.com as well. But it set the scene for then the red carpet, which all the talents walked down, and we got time. A little bit of snippets of time with guys like Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Bobby Roode, Braun Strowman was there. He talked about the hotel. Check that out on the WWE GP Twitter feed. He didn't really get on with the hotel, mainly the lifts and the temperature, as he mentions on that. But two talents we also spoke to on the red carpet as well was Samoa Joe, who at the time was headed to his Fatal 4-Way main event in the Raw brand, that mega main event that he ended up being. He talks to us about being at that top of the card in WWE at this point in his career and how it's come and how he thinks it's the right time. He talks to us on the red carpet about that. And then that is followed on this episode by an interview with Raw GM Kurt Angle. Yeah, that's coming as well. He talks about the SummerSlam event, his SummerSlam memories, because you think Kurt Angle, you know, some of the SummerSlam matches he had, I'm thinking of the one at SummerSlam 2000, where he took on The Rock and Triple H in that wicked triple threat match as well. So yeah, they're coming right your way now, speaking to us on the red carpet, Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. Samoa Joe, how you doing?
Gents.
Pleasure to talk to you.
How you doing?
We're here for SummerSlam. Massive main event at SummerSlam. For you, in a career that you've done so much, where does it rank?
It's at the top of the list right now. It's the biggest opportunity probably in my career, and on one of the largest stages of my career, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
How do you even deal with the amount of man mass in that match, even logistically? I mean, a four-way so hard to put together.
Just, you know, let that mass kind of work against itself. Keep sidestepping, stay out of in front of it, you'll be fine.
You've made no bones about who you're targeting in Brock Lesnar.
Absolutely.
What is he like stepping in the ring with the Beast? What is it like coming face to face with someone like Brock Lesnar?
I mean, I tell people this. I mean, he's stronger than strong. He's a shaved gorilla. I mean, you get in there with a guy like that, and extremely skilled too. So, you know, it's a deadly combination. But, you know, he's not as durable as he thinks he is. So I have no problems putting it on him, taking it from him.
We've said on our show, and it's been said that you've probably been doing things that have been the best of your career, some of the best storylines of 2017. Does that justify yourself waiting that longer period to get to WWE?
I think the best answer to that is I, you know, when I talk about my career and how my career path has gone, I wouldn't change anything for the world. You know, the world experience that I got to have, and the places I've got to see, and the contacts and the friends that I've made, I wouldn't trade that in for anything, because we're here right now for a reason. And you know, I knew it, at some point inevitably it probably would work out, or I'd find myself working with this company in some capacity. So none of this really is a surprise.
There's so many more matches we'd love to see you in Dream or look, you haven't faced yet. Who for you is on Samoa Joe's hit list among both rosters?
You know, I think when you talk about, you know, matches that need to be revisited, John Cena's on that list. I think AJ Styles is on that list. And you got guys like Randy Orton. You know, I'll run it back with Shinsuke. You got guys like Rusev. You know, the Big Show. I mean, like, I'd love to go in there and run with him and see what it's like to be in there with these giants, legitimate giants. So, you know, there's a lot of dream matches kind of left out there, and I can't wait to get into them.
Talk about the big show. If you could choose three other from the past in a big man sort of match, which three wrestlers would you choose?
Ooh, to wrestle against. That's a tough one. I'd go show. I'll put Big Braun in there if we're talking just sheer mass. I'd do a Bruiser Brody, and there's one more magic name out there. I'm trying to figure it out here.
Andre, the biggest of them all.
Ooh. Yeah, Andre's pretty a solid choice. It's hard to skip Andre if you're going to go big man.
And finally, the fans in Brooklyn, they're always very special. How much more do they make it on SummerSlam weekend?
You know, it's funny. The SummerSlam's kind of become this pilgrimage weekend like WrestleMania is. And, you know, we get these fans from all around the world, obviously. New York's a very international city, so it's a very, very cool it's a very cool experience in that, you know, you got all these people here. They're from everywhere in the world, but the vibe and the energy is off the charts. So I'm looking forward to that.
We're looking forward to the match. Thank you, Joe. Good to speak to you. It's SummerSlam weekend. It must hold special memories for you. What are your favorite memories of SummerSlam?
I had a lot of great memories. My match with Brock Lesnar, I think that was 2003. Rey Mysterio, 2002. Stone Cold Steve Austin, 2001. So I've had a lot of fun and a lot of great matches at SummerSlam. And it's one of our top pay-per-views. I wouldn't be standing here right now if it wasn't.
How are you feeling back at the company? It's one of your best big events as well. What's it been like being back in the WWE bubble?
It's a lot of fun getting to know the guys. It's a new generation, you know. Very few guys back in the Attitude Era are still here, so most of them are coaching. So I'm one of the very few that are still active. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm looking to hopefully mix it up with these guys in the near future.
And finally, Jason Jordan, your son, looking forward to his match on the kickoff show.
Yeah, Jason's a good talent, man. I'm really proud of him. He's going to be world champion someday. It's just we got to get the emotion out of him, and it'll come. He's a quick learner, and he's only been in the business a couple of years, so it'll come.
Brilliant. Thanks for talking to us, Kurt. Great to talk to Kurt Angle there. Very good to see him, actually. It's been a long time since I saw Kurt Angle in the flesh. I spoke to him a few years ago now, actually, when he was part of the TNA roster. So it's good to talk to him again, and great to hear his memories as well of SummerSlam, because obviously Kurt Angle, such a big player in the good old days of WWE back in the sort of late 90s and early 2000s. So a good pleasure to talk to Kurt Angle, and he was great with the fans. Actually, we saw him in the hotel a couple of times. He stopped with the fans a lot. I saw him in the gym, actually, working out one of the days as well. He was pumping iron, and he was a bag full of sweat as well, but he was looking better than you probably would imagine Kurt looking at this stage as well. We talked about his injuries and stuff, but he looked in good shape, which is maybe good news for a potential in-ring return. Who knows? And Samoa Joe there as well. Always nice to talk to Samoa Joe. So great to see him in the position he is now in the company in WWE. So it was great to get him on the red carpet as well. Skillet was particularly over the moon to speak to him. I think he got into chats to him about hip-hop, which you can hear on BBC Radio and Extra as well, the stuff that Skillet did for them. So yeah, we've got loads more interviews to come from the weekend as well. We picked up some great stuff over the few days that we were in Brooklyn. The media morning that we did on the Friday particularly, we got some great stuff from Finn Balor, friend of WWE GP, of course. You can see a little snippet of that on the YouTube channel, Gorilla Position / WWE. He talked about, also a little message to James as well, which was brilliant. Go on James DeLay's Twitter page. He sent a little message in his absence, which Finn found amusing that he wasn't at SummerSlam. We also spoke to Lana. Great interview with Lana. Really good to get a full-on conversation out of her in terms of her character, where it is right now, being in Money in the Bank, the title shots that she's got, and just being ravishing. She told me that I could be ravishing, which might be a harder job than you think. We spoke to Lana. We spoke to The New Day, which is on the YouTube channel as well. So many more on the Saturday morning as well, up at the Tower in New York City as well. Nikki Bella, the lovely Nikki Bella, that interview's coming soon. Dolph Ziggler, very interesting interview with Dolph Ziggler coming your way, as well as snippets from Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, ahead of the WWE 2K18 game release, which comes out in October. They're all heading your way. The biggest names always talk to Gorilla Position, so check out for them. Check out for news on the WWE GP Twitter handle, and of course all the latest videos on our YouTube channel, Gorilla Position WWE. But coming next, me and the boys look over a post SummerSlam SmackDown Live, baby, and a new star, or a couple of new stars making their way to the blue brand. Stay with us here on TalkSport 2.
Hey guys, it's Bailey, and if you remember, I was at GP100, so I want you to buy your tickets for hashtag Gorilla Position Live. All right, guys, September 9th, do it now.
Welcome back to Gorilla Position here on TalkSport 2, the only WWE radio program on WWE in the land. That's right, yes, and we're talking SmackDown, Smacketh, whatever you want to call it. Lay the Smacketh down if you want. We're talking post-SummerSlam SmackDown edition. Again, another night from the Barclays Centre, so four nights from the Barclays Centre of wrestling action. We're still here with Matt Davis.
Hiya.
Skillet.
Oh yeah.
I think there's nobody in Brooklyn who hasn't heard that impression now. Brilliant. I was thinking to say about the four nights in Brooklyn, because again, they're there next year. They've already announced that in 2018. Mm-hmm. Is it too much in one city, and is it both the four nights? Because I thought I've watched most of SmackDown. I'm time, you know, jet lag and timing. Oh, I haven't completely. I've watched it from start to finish in terms of without skipping a couple here and there. But it didn't seem to me the crowd was slightly flagging for this one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the trilogy's done now, isn't it? So it's, I think they should have moved on somewhere else. You know, because I feel it won't be as special as other. I mean, it might. You never know. They could surpass things. But I just feel SummerSlam didn't feel as special as last SummerSlam or the year before. And it's just a bit of like, you want to move on, you know. You don't want to have the same kind of routine every year. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
But I disagree slightly.
No, go on, do it.
I think that it's quite nice having it in the same place for another few years, because it's easy for people to get to, for one thing, isn't it? In New York.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's quite important. And I also think last night, was it probably a case of this wasn't people there for the fourth night, but people had flown out by then, and this was more a kind of locals were in the audience.
Possibly.
Show.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to justify if you know, you guys came back before Raw, which I guess is what most people would have done.
Yeah.
But if you American fan, you might say, I'll take the Monday off work and stay, but then you're getting into taking the
We met somebody outside when we were queuing. He was doing all four shows, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which is mighty impressive.
It's
as well.
Expensive as
well.
Yeah,
very expensive. I just feel like if you're there for all four shows, the pops these guys get by the fourth, for the full show, if it's the second or third time that you've seen them, isn't as big as they would be for, you know, the first time.
And also, I think it's I did say that NXT TakeOver was the best TakeOver so far. And I think
that was a big call.
Yeah, I think I'm right. I don't think there's been ever better takeover than that. And I think that helps with, you know, in Brooklyn and NXT, you know, that helps out with, you know, fan base and having the right responses for these acts to come in, like Adam Cole. And, you know, you couldn't really do that a lot of places in the States that would have got that response. So it works.
Well, let's talk SmackDown then. It opened up with the US champion, AJ Styles. The house that Styles built, which I love that. Mm-hmm. There was a fan, actually. We were in one of the bars at the weekend before SummerSlam. They were completely dressed in full club gear. So you had Gallows and Anderson. Finn Balor was probably the less like Finn Balor, in fairness, but Finn Balor's a good-looking man, so it's hard to replicate what he looks like. But the guy who was AJ Styles had this brilliant sign that was him as a builder, and it was gone with a hard hand. This is the house that AJ built.
It was amazing, and he had a good accent. He sounded like AJ as well.
Yeah, he was very good. Yeah, I think I put it on the Instagram story, so it's probably gone now, but at some point it was on the WWE GP Instagram feed as well. So AJ comes out again, another promo just kind of celebrating what he'd done, relaunches the US challenge. And at this point I was expecting to hear what we heard later in the show. We'll save that for a second. But instead, Kevin Owens comes out again complaining at what happened at SummerSlam and Shane being the ref. That brings Shane out, another back and forth. So basically leads to Kevin Owens demanding his own referee. I mean, what do we think of this opening promo from the two guys who we've seen a lot of at the moment?
And still feel like it never quite clicked to the level that we thought it should have. But I was surprised that, I won't repeat what he said because it's probably not TalkSport 2 broadcastable, but I was surprised at the language that AJ used to refer to Owens as, not only because it's not PG in a WWE context, but he's supposed to be somebody who really hates profanity and bad language, isn't he, in real life? So I was quite surprised that he used that. I thought it was, Yeah, it was okay. I like it, this bit was fine, but then when we got into, so obviously Kevin Owens
story
said,
thread through the show.
Yeah, I want to pick the ref because this is your last shot of the title. Yep, okay. There's a couple of bits in terms of that didn't, i.e. the person who he scouted to be the ref and the person who he picked, I just thought were a bit strange.
Yeah, it was a bit odd. I mean, I like the Sami Zayn thing. It's kind of, that kind of made sense. He's an old friend, even though on WWE TV, we've always seen them as rivals. Mm. I think it was a nice kind of nod to their history. And Sammy mentioned that, didn't he, in terms of on the Kevin Owens story. So he asked Sami Zayn to be referee. Yep. Breeze Dango, did he have a backstage bit?
They offered. Yeah. They offered and he snubbed them. And then he kind of was like, actually, wait, come back. But and then Corbin got involved.
So it ends up being Baron Corbin, which I thought was odd because it's not, you know, those two aren't exactly aligned or anything. Yes, it's another heel. And you kind of get the feeling that AJ's heading into a program now with Baron Corbin and the way he looked at the belt.
Well, Baron Corbin said, I'll do it if you give me the first title shot. We should probably take a minute as well to talk about Baron Corbin. I mean, his stock has plummeted over the
You said it was
week.
Over, didn't you?
I think it's done for him.
Do you think that this is because of the reputed heat that he's got for his Twitter spats?
Possibly. I mean, it seems very odd that, you know, he loses a briefcase thing, cleanly leaves
so
to John Cena.
Matt is revealing new stuff to me. What did he think?
He had a Twitter row with Cena, which I think was mainly in character, but one with Dave Meltzer as well, which apparently management not very happy about that, and he's rubbed some people up the wrong way backstage attitude as well. So that makes sense. Yeah. Because I mean, it wasn't just the fact he lost the briefcase. He got nothing in against Cena, really, in the opening match.
Absolutely nothing. As we called it, just a match. Nothing happened. It wasn't very early. And I wanted to come out all guns blazing, and he really didn't in that match. I thought the main event was okay. I mean, as we've said, this feud's never really got going for whatever reason, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. Again, there's more shenanigans with Baron doing the fast count and then pushing AJ. And then Shane comes out. Again, comes the referee. Again, we see AJ as champion. We're clearly headed into Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, aren't we?
I think so, yeah. I thought Corbin and Shane actually did their bits quite well in this. I like Shane pulling Corbin out and then Corbin basically saying, I don't need this, and throwing the ref shirt at him. That was quite good. Owens obviously sold his disappointment brilliantly at the end, as he always does. I mean, you think how long he was Universal title holder for and how bothered he appears to be at not winning a secondary belt on a different show. He's just a lesson to everybody, basically, isn't he?
Yeah, and they've got rid of the that America thing that never really got going for Kevin Owens as well, because they made such a big deal with the Titantron, his face on the floor, the t-shirts, the colours, but he was wearing just old school red again last night, wasn't he? So maybe that's something they never really followed up on. I don't know why. I think that could have been quite fun. Interesting. I think the big story coming out from SmackDown, obviously this week, so always talked about people making call-ups from NXT. This one, Skillet, you called on the reaction show. Mm-hmm. And Aiden English comes out, does his shtick, he's singing. Then we hear the piano. Now, I didn't think, this is my point with the Barclays Center and seeing these people over and over again, I didn't think the pop for Bobby was as huge as you'd probably expect from an NXT call-up. I don't know what you guys thought.
Yeah, but again, maybe if this wasn't the SummerSlam crowd, maybe there's a fair percentage of the audience who actually didn't know who he was, if it was just a regular SmackDown crowd.
Even Bobby Roode, someone who's quite well-known in even outside of NXT, I don't know.
But if there's a lot of kids in the audience,
maybe,
would they know him? That would be my mitigation. But I was surprised as well. I thought the roof had come off the place.
I mean, it was a good reaction.
Don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad.
I know what you mean. It wasn't the pop we were expecting.
It was more polite than insanity.
Yeah. Is it maybe because people thought it would happen like we did?
Maybe they thought, why is he debuting against Aiden English?
Which was pretty much a squash match. And then he did a promo afterwards, kind of introducing himself to the SmackDown roster, getting that glorious thing across. Did he come across as a face here?
Massively.
Yeah, he's a face.
Yeah, he was a smiley white meat baby face.
Sorry, Ash.
Which is odd, seeing as he spent the most of NXT being the really smarky, unlikable guy.
The gimmick is a total heel gimmick as well, isn't it? But again, you know, I wonder if this might be a ruse and he quickly turns heel.
Yeah.
So where would you put him? What program would you start? Because we said maybe AJ, but AJ seems to be heading into a feud with Baron Corbin. Or does he get into that mix? Or does he even go straight to the top? I know that we'll talk about Shinsuke, but where do we put Bobby Roode on the SmackDown roster?
Maybe Ziggler.
Ziggler. Sami Zayn.
He's a good hand, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Sami. I'm so disappointed he wasn't on the SummerSlam card as well.
Yeah. Can I do a quick shout out to something that happened on SmackDown as well?
Go on then.
Chad Gable was your tag team partner.
Well, that was coming to that. Give me a moment. Yes. I was just going to say he wasn't the only new but old face on SmackDown. And I know we're all very excited about this one as well. Because this was muted. Well, it was announced, wasn't it, when the draft happened?
Yeah.
First of all, the first initial draft that he was coming to SmackDown, and then he had that injury. Rotator cuff injury. Thank you, Matt. That kept him out, and we were unsure if he would come back. And then, I mean, it's an interesting way to introduce someone. Obviously, they didn't want to do him coming out like they'd done Bobby Roode already, so they did it in a backstage skit. So
got a good pop, didn't he?
He got a very big pop. So we now we're seeing Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin together. I mean, does that work for you?
Well, are we?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Shelton Benjamin didn't look that impressed at the idea, did he? I think that he's going to say next week, no, I don't want to be your partner. Because Chad Gable was all, hey, yeah, of course we want to match next week. And Benjamin was kind of...
No, I think you're giving Benjamin more credit there. I think that's just Benjamin. I think that's Benjamin not knowing what he's doing at the moment. Because he's just back. He's back into WWE. Maybe a bit rusty with getting back into acting promo wise, so I think he was supposed to be a bit enthusiastic and he just didn't know how to deliver it.
You know what I thought, because I haven't seen him at all since he's been away, I thought, wow, he looks older than the last time I saw him. And then I thought, yeah, it was 7 years ago. he's 42.
I think he looked bigger to me. I'm not sure if
he has gone bigger in size. But what an athlete.
He's an athlete. I mean, it's kind of nice because American Alpha were kind of always likened to, you know, the world's greatest tag team, Charlie Haas and Shawn
Benjamin. What would you call this tag team? The world's greatest alpha?
Yeah, the world's greatest Americans. Does that work?
World's greatest American.
I'm excited to see
too.
That.
I mean, I can't wait to see this.
I like Chad Gable. I think he could learn a lot from just WWE-ness of Shelton Benjamin. I mean, I know Shelton's always somebody who didn't quite... Was it IC runs he had? He never quite broke the glass ceilings of that next level, did
That's
he?
That's true. Had that amazing Raw match with Shawn Michaels.
He did, didn't
Fantastic.
He?
Yeah.
One of the best Raw matches ever, actually, I would say.
And he would always steal the show in the Money in the Bank matches.
I bet to say he was always the guy you go to into Money in the Bank matches and ladder matches.
And they're both from Minnesota.
Usos need a new opponent as well.
They don't, don't they? Yeah.
How brilliant were the Usos? And before I go, New Day, Usos.
I mean, did that come across on TV?
I watched the kickoff match after. I watched the kickoff show after I watched the main thing, and I was umming and ahhing about whether to watch it. But you two put the match over so much that I thought I've got to watch this, and yeah, it was great.
Okay.
Just great.
Good to know.
We mentioned the Usos. They came out and they had a match with the Hype Bros, which they won. Then cut a promo afterwards, basically challenging everyone else. So
they're brilliant, man. I've got no qualms in the Usos, man. I'm loving.
They really are. In their own element, they've really got this gimmick down.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Daniel Bryan thing on last week's SmackDown, but I think that's just a Daniel Bryan quirk with the Usos.
I think Bryan wanted to do that.
I think Bryan just loves their work as a wrestling fan like we do. So
he never healed on him on Talking Smack.
Never once.
Did some dastardly things, and he never once else. You could just such a hypocrite.
That's something we didn't talk about on the reaction show. That little backstage VT that had Angle and Daniel Bryan, which I mean, it was, you know, they were there. It was fun. But it just planted that seed for me and you. And
I had my mouth watering for them to have a match.
The Canadian journalist next to us, he also was waxing, thinking, oh my God, Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan. And it's one of those things. I think we talked about it on the YouTube show, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, that in theory, it's the stuff of wet dreams, isn't it, really? Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan, but...
I'm not sure. Hey, I did like, just going back to the Shelton Benjamin thing, you made me think of that. I did like that they squeezed in an explanation as to why Jason Jordan had just gone to Raw.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So even though it was a bit weird, like I call he, I mean, it sort of makes sense, doesn't
it?
So I got into it, basically, Angle got in touch with Shelton Benjamin on Bryan's behalf, and so I'm glad that they finally just... because it was annoying me a bit.
So we think it's going to be them then, Shelton and Chad challenging.
Yep, the Usos.
So the Usos.
I was thinking this, listening to the reaction show. Are they the coolest people in WWE? Like the most, like
I mean, they are.
They're like on point, modern.
Yeah.
What 2017? What would attract kids or teenagers to watching WWE?
That's a good point. I mean, I think Finn's pretty cool, but
Shinsuke's pretty cool. Finn's pretty cool, but
in a
Usos,
more wrestling kind of way, in a kind of, like you're saying, like an everyday kind of pop culture kind of way. I think the Usos,
they're hip hop, man.
They are. That's what they are, aren't they? Yeah. They're hip hop. Are they into? They must be into their hip hop.
Yeah, of course they have.
That kind of gimmick and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
What about the Hype Bros? They're not cool, and weren't they breaking up a few weeks ago?
It's just kind of, they forgot that one, didn't they? They're not going to go with that.
prospects bleak.
It's a weird one with them because they kind of they've blown hot and cold with those, haven't they? One minute he's really in, like in that singles run he had. Who am I trying to think of? Mojo Rowley.
Yeah.
While Zach was out, and he had those bits, skits, and stuff on. We had that weird one.
He won the Andre.
He won the Giant Memorial Rattle Royal. And they had that number one contendership when they before Zach's injury. So are they just not completely sold on them?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, the roster's so stacked that everyone's hot and cold nowadays.
Really. Yeah, we're still waiting for Rowan and Harper to.
Yeah.
Hashtag where is Luke Harper?
Speaking of hot and cold.
When was the last time we saw Luke Harper on telly?
Oh, my Lord.
Couldn't tell you.
Crazy. Absolutely. To think how hot he was in that WrestleMania build to Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Where was Randy Orton?
Yeah.
Where was Rusev?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, again, your point a few weeks ago, why rotating talent is great. It just seemed odd that a post-SummerSlam show, I suppose SmackDown, you've got 2 hours, you need to fit a lot on.
But Rusev should have just destroyed somebody backstage or something, shouldn't he? He needed to get a bit of heat back because he got beaten in 10 seconds.
I really, really wish. It was quite funny. I put a tweet out while he was attacking Randy Orton before the match, like, push this man now. He is the something really, really silly in the context of what was about to happen 5 seconds later. And someone put the tweet you wish you hadn't tweeted, which, you know. But he's a lovely guy, Rusev. Yeah, we spoke to him at the media morning, didn't we?
He's
and
a great guy.
I just wish, I only want good things with him. And I think he's got it. So hopefully.
It's funny, I actually mentioned, don't you think you get overlooked? And he looked at me like, why would you ask me this?
Yeah, thanks for that.
One man that isn't overlooked at the moment, the WWE champion Jinder Mahal. Mm-hmm. So Shinsuke Nakamura has a match against the Singh brothers. Jinder Mahal is obviously there as well. This is one of those points we talk about Shinsuke, like keeping him on TV. Do we really need to see Shinsuke Nakamura in a match with the Singh brothers?
No, but I thought this was just a way of extending the feud a bit.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It's a nice little fight up because obviously Singh brothers get a little running. They haven't wrestled since they've teamed up with Jinder, really. They've taken bumps, but I guess they didn't really wrestle in this match either. I guess they were taking more bumps. But yeah, it's good. Match right. It's just to extend the feud a bit more because obviously they're going to have a rematch.
Well, he's not owed one, is he? Because he lost, so, but they're just going to, looks like they're continuing this program.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really anybody else he'd slot in there straight away to face Jinder.
And I kind of think it's good for Shinsuke to have not just one title match and you're done. Like, continue it a bit more. So make him feel like a main eventer.
Well, there's a long time to go before the next SmackDown pay-per-view. It's Hell in a Cell, I think.
When is that? Is that October?
Yeah. Well, so we may get like a SmackDown super show at some point, maybe.
Do you think they will reinforce Bamboo Steel the Hell in a Cell? Jinder, the main event.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird for him to be in a Hell in a Cell now and he's created the Punjabi prison. I hope not. I don't ever want to see the Punjabi prison again. But yeah, so Shinsuke gets the win and then Jinder tries to come in and attack him
and he gets
fails and he gets the
lethal Kinshasa to the face.
So yeah, it looks like those two
maybe they have a match in an Osaka asylum.
See what he did there.
Or a Tokyo torture chamber.
Do you know what's scary? It wouldn't surprise me if they did that.
Give Matt the book.
Bits of sushi hanging from the cell and stuff.
What could it be reinforced with?
Chopsticks.
Yes.
Reinforced steel chopsticks.
That, book it, Matt. Book it. Love it. Then we had the women on show. New SmackDown champion Natalia. Still wearing a Jim the Anvil sparkly jacket, which I loved. She teamed with Carmella, but there was a little back and forth. So I kind of missed this. It was one bit I kind of missed when I was skimming through SmackDown. Due to the timings today and the jet lag and everything else. So just fill me in on what happened in the promo to Natty and Carmella.
Natty was saying it's no longer glow time, it's my time. And then during the match, basically, Carmella was not keen on participating. So she was just jaw-jacking with Ellsworth at the side of the ring and just saying she wasn't going to get involved. But she was tagged in by Natalia. They started fighting each other and then Carmella got pinned by Naomi. Carmella, I know we sometimes get comments for saying this, but she was looking hot.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, that new outfit does wonders. Well, not wonders, but does very well for her, doesn't it?
She's
an
attractive woman. Is that, that's a polite
way. Yeah, we saw her a couple of times working out in the gym, in the hotel. But so are we getting Natty Carmella going forward? I mean, or are we just using that? Obviously, she still holds the briefcase, and maybe Natalia goes into program with one of the faces in the match. It was Becky Lynch.
I think it's just a way of demonstrating that whoever holds that title is not safe.
No.
And Carmella needs to keep the briefcase.
Yeah,
for
she needs
long,
to keep. Yeah, that's why I like the quirk. I think it was way obvious that it wasn't going to be on Sunday when we saw her on the kickoff show, and then backstage and the build up. I kind of knew, and especially because it was quite low down on the card at SummerSlam as well. I think that the cash in is still to come. I'd like her to hold it a little bit longer.
It's a heat magnet for a heel, isn't it?
Completely. I think her package works, but you know, people don't like James Ellsworth. So I think it works all round. Pleased for Natalia though, and to get her moment in the sun.
Yes, I was. Yeah, that's something I said on the preview that we did last week, James and I, that I felt it was a Zack Ryder type moment for her. It would be nice to have, you know, him winning the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. She deserves something like that. As long as we don't get too much promo work from her you know, or an overacting. She's a really good wrestler. She's been very loyal to the company, so it's nice to see her with the belt.
Yeah, I liked her new plates as well. The hearts look really cool on that SmackDown belt, don't they, with the colours and stuff. They're pink. So was the T-shirt that Dolph Ziggler was wearing. We interviewed him on Saturday morning in Brooklyn, which was a bit odd one, we thought, because he hadn't been on TV.
Yeah.
That interview will come at some point here on the podcast later on in the year. But he's back on SmackDown. A really strange promo, this one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they're basically asking him, what's next? What can we expect from Dolph Ziggler? And he went on this weird tirade about what he should be doing rather than what he's been doing. Did he mention glow in the dark ladies?
He basically
or
went through everybody else's gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he referenced Naomi, Shinsuke, he referenced New Day. I don't dance around like clowns. I don't. So he's referencing nearly everybody to say, you know, this is what they do to get over. I guess I'm going to do something similar.
I honestly didn't even know he'd been away.
As you'll hear from the interview at some point, he didn't mind being away, did he?
Yeah, he didn't. Well, when we interviewed him personally, he was like quite happy to be off TV for a while. And he said, and he kind of commented like, and I'm sure you were too. I wonder if he listens to GP.
Then he would heard our idea of shaving his head and joining the Wyatt family.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that he cut this promo and said he's going to do it next week.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I don't know what to possibly expect from a...
Well, he didn't say what he was going to do. Yeah. He said, I'm going to do something next week. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Stop shouting in your promos. Yeah. Reinvigorate
your
act.
Stop wearing the same jacket that he was wearing when we interviewed him. So
take the pink T-shirt off.
Loves a pink
T-shirt. It's probably going to be something disappointing.
Thanks for that sell for next week's girls. And then the only really other thing to say from SmackDown is, you know, this Lana and Tamina thing keeps... bubbling
happening.
Under, and I mean, is she somebody we're going to see in a title pit? Is this what we're building to? Do I want to see a Natalia Tamina match?
Again, it's two heels. It doesn't work, does it? Tamina, it's not working. It's just, I sort of get why they've put Lana with her, because she needs a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But I just still think, why did you break up Lana and Rusev?
Yeah.
And why have neither Rusev or Lana explained why they're no longer together? Because we know, because they're so active on social media and whatever, and because they're in Total Divas, that they are legit husband and wife. It's just one of those annoying little plot holes.
It's a bit odd for them to be on the same show and not even interact in any way.
Rusev say, look, I've decided I'm going to go on my own for a bit. That's all it takes, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very strange thing. She was very nice though when we spoke to her.
Lovely.
She, Lana.
She's very lovely.
Weather accent she was using. There's a little tease on our Twitter page. Scroll down somewhere on the timeline. It's WWE GP where we talk to Lana about being ravishing, and she tells me that she can make me ravishing. I'm up for it.
She clearly likes a challenge, you and Tamina.
My application is in the post, Lana. So, well, that was SmackDown. Again, what did you guys think? You know, these shows are, you know, this one's slightly more newsworthy in terms of Shelton and Bobby Roode. So a decent final night in the Barclays Center.
I enjoyed it, man. I thought it was fun. It wasn't, you know, breathtaking, but it was a nice episode.
I liked it. I think it's weird looking back on the 4 days, and it's probably because the expectations that we have for SummerSlam. But SummerSlam was probably what's the best way of putting it? Least effective piece of TV that they did over the 4 days.
Well, that main event was good.
Yeah, that probably saved it.
Yeah.
But TakeOver was just, you were dead right about the first match as well, Gargano and Almas.
Yeah,
I want to watch NXT
TakeOver.
Watch the Itami Aleister Black match back, because I think you'll like it more when you watch it on TV.
I said I know that when I watch it back I'll appreciate it more, and I did enjoy the match. I just figured it wasn't the expectations that I had it up for. But what I'm going to say is, because you brought up Andrade, he's going to fill in Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode's moved to SmackDown now, and I think they're going to push Andrade to that main event.
Drew Andrade going forward.
Well, obviously, Adam Cole and Drew.
What I was going to quickly say about the Aleister Black match, I think they were in a difficult spot in the end because obviously we had such huge expectations for that match. But they followed that first match, which exceeded expectations in terms of the quality. Then they had the first bit of the Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly invasion. So the crowd were kind of just like blah, blah, blah by that point. So maybe there was a slight difficult spot for them guys to keep that such a high up. I mean, again, I need to watch it back. I enjoyed the match thoroughly and it was brutal, absolutely brutal. Someone that isn't brutal, especially on the social. Skillet, where can they find you on the social?
At Skillet World, SKILLIT World. Follow me on Twitter, and if you follow me on Instagram, at Skillet Loves You.
And your new album.
And my new album is out now, Skillet Loves You as well. So yeah, purchase that. All digital stores everywhere, Tidal, Spotify, iTunes, you name it.
Very good. And Mr. Matt Davis, where can people find you?
At Matt Davis FC on Twitter. Davis is D-A-V-I-E-S. Here's Matt E-D on Instagram. And I'm working on the album.
You're working on the album? Yeah. I mean, you save your sultry tones for the commentary box, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, me and Elias and Skillet have got a three-man band coming up.
Saying that, there were so many free MB chants over the weekend.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Drew's match and Jinder's match.
There was free MB chants in the Barclays. I thought I'd never hear.
I like Heath Slater's tweet, which is basically like, so, Jinder is the world champ? Drew is the NXT champ?
He's got kids. He's got kids. He's had a tag title run. Thank you very much, boys. It's been a pleasure as always. James will be back next week, but hopefully he thinks we've done a good job. Do we think he needs to come back, maybe?
No.
Stay in Italy.
Stay in Italy, James. It's fine. Be with Santino Marella or whoever else is out there. No, James will be back next week when normal service will resume. So, see you then. Thank you to the boys there, Skillet and Matt Davis, for chewing the fat over Raw and SmackDown, this post-Raw and SmackDown from SummerSlam 2017. And if you want to get a kind of sneak peek of what happened with me and Skillet and the GP team over those few days in Brooklyn, there's a special SummerSlam vlog hitting our YouTube channel straight after this show. Just a little behind the scenes of the what we did in Brooklyn over those few days. Check it out at Gorilla Position WWE on YouTube, as well as all the other videos that are there as well. All the interviews we did. There's some great stuff already up on the YouTube channel with Dean Ambrose, Jinder Mahal, The New Day, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Finn Balor, Bobby Roode, all on WWE GP's YouTube channel, which is YouTube/GorillaPositionWWE. And also, if you want to support the show, which many people did in Brooklyn, we saw a few shirts walking around the Barclays Center, Gorilla Position t-shirts, and we were very pleased. We shook some hands. It was very nice to see GP representing in Brooklyn. And you can get your very own GPT. Just head to www.GorillaPositionWWE and you get the nice blue one, which has got the nice Gorilla Position logo, or the grey one, which has Hello You on it, which somebody saw in one of the bars over the weekend. I thought it was a CM Punk t-shirt. So I had to explain to him what it was, and I've made him a fan of WWE GP, just like you guys as well. James D'Lo will be back in the host chair next week, fresh of a family holiday, and I'll be back in the pundit chair, helping along, talking Raw and SmackDown as we head on the road to No Mercy and then Hell in the Cell. Cool. They feel a few weeks away yet, but yes, it's been very good. An amazing experience. Thanks to everyone who made the great experience of SummerSlam as good as it was. This has been a Starstruck Media production. I have been Ash Rose. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week.
Gorilla Position from Talk Sport with WWE 2K17. Welcome to Suplex City. The brilliant new game is out now.